was a marriage made in heaven.
Everyone agreed it was just perfect. The most beautiful young lady marrying the rich young man. They had anything and everything a couple could ask for. Fame, success, money, power, popularity. They really seemed to be in love. He gave her a huge diamond ring that cost big money. And so the wedding date was set and the plans were made. No expense was spared as the happy couple prepared to tie the knot. They were married in a large church. In fact, there were 2,500 people invited to the ceremony. 4,500 flower arrangements ordained the cathedral. There were 21 cameramen filming every detail of the event. The bride wore a beautiful gown with a jewel-bedecked crown. The wedding was so important that television cameramen came from around the world so that the event could be broadcast on live television. In fact, it is estimated that 750 million people viewed as Prince Charles of England married Lady Diana on July 29th, 1981. It was the most glamorous, the most famous wedding of all time. Yet, sadly, all the money, all the fame, all the power, all the glory of this world could not make the marriage happy. It didn't take long before the fighting began. Both the man and the woman committed adultery. They had so much in their favor, yet the marriage ended in divorce. And the world came to discover that it takes more than a prince, a lady, and a palace to make a successful marriage. What happened to the love? It seemed so real, it felt so powerful, yet somewhere, somehow, the love died and the marriage failed. And sadly, this same scenario is repeated millions of times a year all around the world in all different countries and cultures, both rich and poor, young and old. Plans go awry and love seems to fail. A young man and a woman fall in love, they get married, they start off with so much promise, but over time the feelings fade, the love turns sour. Sometimes it doesn't take long for the ideal to become an ordeal. At other times the marriage seems to hang on successfully, surviving for years until it falters in the end. But perhaps even worse are the millions of marriages where the couple is still together, but the love has completely died. The unhappy couple endures a battlefield marriage of fighting, betrayal, and bitterness. The wedlock turns to deadlock, and the misery never ends. So let me ask you a question this morning. What happened to the love? Was there a genuine love and somehow it died? Or were the feelings of love simply an illusion, a fantasy that didn't exist? Did so many people really make a mistake and marry the wrong person? Or is marriage just a problem, something you have to endure? First comes the engagement ring, then the wedding ring, then the suffer ring. The good news for all of us today is that God has a better plan for your marriage. If you believe it, say amen. You see, when you discover God's blueprint for raising a family and building a covenant home, you can have more than just unhappy coexistence in your marriage. You can actually have a marriage that's made in heaven. You can actually have a marriage where love gets stronger rather than weaker. You can actually have a marriage where peace rules and partnership prevails. In fact, that's the purpose of our sermon this morning. We want to go on and continue to uncover the truth and learn how anyone and everyone can keep the love alive no matter how long you've been together. But before we go further, let's bow our heads and pray. Almighty and everlasting Father, we thank you so much for your grace, amazing, abundant grace to welcome us into your presence today. We in turn welcome you to fill our hearts with your love and your light and your truth. I submit myself and this crowd to you. I bind every spirit of the enemy that would come to steal the seed of the word out of our hearts. I bind every spirit that would come to deceive or disturb or distract us. In the name of Jesus, I plead the blood of Jesus over our hearts. And I ask that you would send down the spirit of truth, for we cannot understand and obey your word unless you fill us with your spirit. So give us the grace today of your light, and give us the grace of your courage to do what we have to do as we keep ourselves obedient to you. We want to give you the praise right now in advance by faith, even as we trust that we will be transformed. We bless your name in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. I want to invite you to pray with me right now. Just put your hand on your chest and say after me, Lord Jesus, speak to my heart, change my life, manifest your glory in me. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, good morning once again, and welcome to Agape House New Testament Church. I'm so glad that you're here with us as we continue our sermon series called Covenant Home. And of course, I want to give a very big and a very special welcome to my lovely wife, Reverend Mrs. Whitcomb. We're glad you're back. She's been away for 5 weeks because we just celebrated the birth of our first grandchild. My son and his wife had a grandbaby, and she went to be with them. And I know you missed her, but I missed her more, if you believe it, say amen. I also want to take this opportunity to welcome those of you who are watching on television or watching this message online. It's my prayer that you will sense the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit right where you are. And of course, if you're ever in Accra, we invite you to come and worship with us in person here at Agape House New Testament Church in East Legon. A warm welcome awaits you. Well, for the last few weeks, we've been studying the series Covenant Home. We've been looking at God's plan for raising a family and building a home. And I sense so strongly in my spirit that God is working in our midst. He's beginning to heal some marriages that have been torn apart. He's beginning to restore hope where there's been dejection and depression. He's beginning to give us a vision of what he wants to do. Damaged homes are being revived. If you believe it, say amen. And I want to encourage you to keep believing God for your miracle as we continue this series throughout the month of November. Because no matter where you're at in your relationship, whether married or engaged or single or it's complicated, God has the answer for you. And if you're single here today, I want you to believe for your miracle, because I see God bringing together the right man and the right woman in Covenant Home in this church. And I believe that in the coming 12 months, we're going to see more marriages at Agape House than we've ever seen before. Amen. If you're single, shout hallelujah. So let's take a moment now to review what we've learned so far in our Covenant Home. Okay, you talk. Yeah. God bless the singles. Amen. But let's take a moment to review what we've learned. We began by talking about the pillar of covenant. You see, marriage in God's eyes is a covenant between God, a man, and a woman. And that marriage covenant is a place for us to grow and change and become like Jesus and learn to show the love of Christ to the world. And last week, we saw the second pillar in a covenant home, and it was communication. A successful home requires good communication, and good communication requires understanding. But understanding of communication is not the only thing that we need to understand. We also need to understand emotions, and that's today's message. The third pillar in a covenant home is spirit controlled emotions. See, in order to be successful in any marriage, we have to understand the role that emotions play in our marriage relationship. The fact is, marriage and family emotions are the strongest in the world. The marriage and family relations have the greatest, deepest, most exhilarating emotions. Just hearing about my son's wife delivering our first grandchild brought me such joy. But the same relationships that can bring us joy and peace and contentment can also bring us pain and heartache. And because these emotions are so powerful, our understanding of how they work and how they can work for us or against us in the marriage is critical in building a covenant home. So to help us discover the truth today, we've printed sermon notes. They look like this. They're inside your bulletin, and I want to invite you to take them out and follow along with me as we discover how to keep love alive. And there at the top of your notes and on the screen behind me is our scripture text for today. It's found in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 31. I believe the word of God will have the most impact when it's in our hearts and on our lips. So I'm going to invite you to read it out loud with me this morning. Are you ready? Let's read it with good preaching voices. Here we go. Ephesians 5, 31, go. As the scriptures say, a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to your heart in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Now, this passage is one of the foundational principles in the Word of God about marriage. It was in the Old Testament. Jesus quoted it. And here it is again from Paul in Ephesians 5. And in this simple verse, we see three keys to keeping love alive. And here's your first key. You've got to make your marriage your priority. Take your pen and fill in the blank with the word priority. And listen again to this phrase from Ephesians 5:31. The Bible says, a man leaves his father and mother. And the foundation of marriage is there has to be a leaving before there can be a cleaving. There has to be a parting before there can be a joining. And the fact tells us plainly that marriage has to be made a priority. You have to give up something in order to gain something better. And God insists that we leave in order to cleave because he wants us to know that in the new scheme of things, you've got to prioritize your life. The old is gone. Those attachments, those things in the past that you gave attention to are no longer your priority. Your priority is not your past relationships. It is your present relationship with your husband and your wife. And that involves a cost. To have a successful marriage, you've got to be willing to pay a price. You see, a good marriage requires effort. It doesn't just happen. It's written on your notes there, and I want us to read it together. Are you ready? Go. A good marriage doesn't just happen. It requires effort. And this is where so many of us are going astray, even in the church. We think because we have feelings of love for one another, that's all we need. The young man says, I just love her so much. I could never picture myself with anyone else. And she thinks, oh, he's my Prince Charming. I love him. Nothing will come between us. But friends, feelings come and feelings go. And just as it's possible to do things that create feelings of love, it's also possible to do things that kill feelings of love. In fact, you can start with no feelings and have exhilarating feelings, and a few months later have feelings that you want to kill one another. Anybody here say amen? I'm just speaking hypothetically. But love feelings aren't the fundamental requirement for successful marriage. In fact, that's the lesson we learn from the true story of David and Elizabeth Weinlich. David Weinlich was a 21-year-old man in the United States, and he decided it was time to get married. So he set the date, he bought the wedding rings, and he even picked a location. There was only one problem. David didn't have a bride. To take care of this not-so-minor detail, David asked his best friends to conduct a search for the future Mrs. Weinlich. David and his friends set up a website. This is a true story. They printed flyers. They advertised in the newspaper, and 300 ladies applied. And David's not even that good-looking. I tell you, the ladies were desperate. Hallelujah. So David enlisted. Who said amen? God bless you. David enlisted 60 of his best friends and family members to interview the 300 applicants, and they sorted it down to 28 finalists. And then, by an overwhelming margin, they selected a young lady named Elizabeth Runce, a 28-year-old pharmacy student. And 1 hour, everybody say 1 hour. 1 hour after the final selection was made, David and Elizabeth stepped to the altar and got married. Their first kiss was at the wedding altar 1 hour after they agreed to be married. Now, how many of you think that such a hastily arranged marriage would be doomed to fail? And you wouldn't be alone. David's own father said, this is a big mistake. And a family counselor in their community said, there's a high probability that he's going to get the wrong person. Yet here's the surprising truth. David and Elizabeth Weinlich are still married to today, 16 years later. Imagine that. Complete strangers who met just hours before they got married. Two people who didn't know each other. They had absolutely no feelings of love for one another, but their marriage has been successful and happy for 16 years, and they have 4 kids together. Whoa! Listen to what David said recently about the surprising success of his marriage to Elizabeth. "I don't think it's that much of a secret," David Weinlich said. "It's really about how we make it work together. We're committed to being happy together." Now, don't get me wrong. I am not advocating rushing to the courtyard after service, picking a girl, and getting married. Bismarck, control yourself. As Christians, we have to pray and seek the will of God, and we have to make sure that our partner is a believer in Jesus Christ. But the true story of David and Elizabeth Weinlich gives us one important truth today. Any marriage can work when the two partners work at the marriage. Even a marriage between strangers who don't love each other can succeed when you know the secrets to building love in a marriage. In fact, the Bible backs this up. It says in Ephesians 4:3, "Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit." There's an effort involved to keep unity amongst us. It's the same in a church. It's the same in a home. It's the same between a man and a wife. You've got to use effort. And the desire for God to bring us together as one can only come when you put a priority on your relationship by leaving all others and clinging together. And so many of us, even in the church, think that our feelings are enough to carry us through. And we think because God has directed us to marry this person that we're automatically going to have success. We're convinced that we're going to be happy no matter what. But assumptions can be deadly. For here's the fact. You've got to understand the difference between euphoric love and covenant love. Euphoric love is that feeling of your heart pounding and your palms sweating and your knees knocking. It's with the birds singing and the sun shining and the ocean breeze blowing. It's the time when you can't eat and you see stars in your eyes. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. I love the feeling of love. But sociologists have studied love and determined that in most marriages, the average amount of time euphoric love lasts is 2 years. And then those feelings fade. Some don't last 2 years. Some last 2 months. Some last 2 weeks, some last 2 days. I read about the shortest marriage in the world, a man in Dubai. They married and divorced on the same day. God bless them. But covenant love is different. Covenant love is not based on feelings alone. Covenant love is a love that's last because it's based on a commitment to one another, no matter how I feel. It's a love that agrees to pay the price of hard work, forgiveness, and self-sacrifice that are essential for a good marriage. And here's the truth today you need to know. Marriages succeed when the husband and wife make their marriage a priority. Philippians 2:2 says, "Live together in harmony and love as though you only had one mind and spirit between you." Make it your one priority to be one of heart, one of mind, one of spirit. Unfortunately, that's easier said than done. For anybody who's been married any length of time will be able to tell you, covenant love doesn't come naturally. There are obstacles to overcome. And the challenge to covenant love is unexpected differences. Pick your pen and fill the blanks with the words unexpected differences. Now, I started to tell you last week about some of the differences between men and women. We're all created unique. We're wonderfully and complex made. And there are differences between us as individuals, as well as between men and women as a group. And one of those differences we saw last week is in the area of communication. Men and women communicate differently. That's why, gentlemen, to a woman, meaningful conversation is she talks and you listen, all right? That's what it is. We communicate differently. But that's not the only area of difference. Our emotions are another source of unexpected differences. Men and women look at life differently. And if you don't understand that, those differences will tear apart at the priority of your marriage. Your marriage will work when you work for your marriage. So let me ask you a question today. Are you putting your best effort into your marriage? You know, a lot of us put a lot of work
into our working place. We work long hours. We go beyond what is expected because we're trying to get a promotion. A lot of us put a great deal of effort into our education. We'll study late into the night. Some of us put great effort into our sports activities or into our physical fitness. Others of us put great effort into our hobbies, things that we like to do, like cooking or painting or sewing. But how many of us are actually making an intentional effort to build a covenant home in Christ? You see, marriage takes work. It's not just getting married and then relaxing for the rest of your life. You've got to put effort into it. And when you put the effort into it, through prayer and fasting and seeking the face of God, when you put effort to do the things that God has commanded you to do, you'll begin to see a change in the atmosphere of your marriage. Your emotions will begin to follow in place of your actions. And that's the good news for each and every one of us, because no matter how you're feeling about your husband or wife, no matter how you're feeling about your marriage today, you can see God transform your emotions and your feelings about your marriage into ones of love and kindness and acceptance and even excitement when you do the things that God has commanded you to do. It's not easy, but as you trust in the Lord and as you diligently apply His word to your life, you're going to see a change, a restoration, I would say a revival in your marriage. That's my prayer and expectation for you. And that's why I'm here every week teaching the Covenant Home series. I'm passionate about seeing God's plan and purpose for your marriage come to pass. I want God's destiny for your home to be fulfilled. If that's what you desire also, then just put your hand on your chest and say, Lord, make it a reality in my life. In Jesus' name, I will obey your word and do what you've asked me to do. As you commit yourself to Christ and to your covenant home, you're going to see a transformation that will surprise you and your family and friends. That's why I want to encourage you to join me again next week as we continue the topic of spirit-controlled emotions. We're going to be looking at a very vital truth that will change the direction and the destiny of your marriage. Don't miss it. Tune in on this very day, at this time, on this station, for another exciting episode of Covenant Home here on Revelation. And of course, don't forget to visit my website at www.revrcw.com. There you'll find the study guide and the teaching notes for these series of teachings, as well as the opportunity to view or download the audio and video segments. I trust that you'll visit my website today. Until next week, when we meet again, may God richly bless you and your covenant home. In Jesus' name, amen.